You're listening to the Dungeons, Dragons, and Psychology Podcast.
The rhythmic clatter of dice against the tabletop fades into the background as the excited whoops of victory are raised around the table. You're lost in another epic moment in your where the thrill of victory has overtaken the group. But a disarming thought creeps in, a quiet voice whispering in the back of your mind. Did my player just exploit their knowledge of this monster's weakness in a way that their character wouldn't realistically know? Is the thrill of this victory being sacrificed at the altar of optimized play? I'm Robert Walker, author of Session Zero, the DMG to writing great campaigns in any system, and this is my show where I teach collaborative storytellers how to have more immersive campaigns using psychology. Hello, Psycholithids. We are going to be taking a little bit of a break today from learning up how to level up as classes, and I'm sending you this bonus episode in our traditional format from our previous seasons, just discussing an interesting topic around Dungeons & Dragons or role-playing games and the psychology of it, and today it is going to be metagaming. This is an internal debate, adventurers, the essence of metagaming. Here, we're going to delve into the murky waters of this controversial practice. Is metagaming the nemesis of immersive storytelling, or can it be wielded as a tool to enhance the experience? So buckle up, because I want to talk about the psychology behind metagaming, uncovering situations where it breaks the spell, and moments where it can actually benefit your campaign. Now, to anyone unfamiliar, metagaming is when a player uses knowledge they have outside the game to influence their character's actions. This could range from a seasoned player knowing a red dragon is immune to fire to piecing together clues that the DM hasn't explicitly revealed. Now, it is my assertion that metagaming can be positive and negative. Let me give you just a few examples of what I mean for both of those. Some negative metagaming examples could be a player avoiding entering a doorway because they got a glimpse of the map and realized that the door has a trap on it. It could be befriending a powerful NPC because a player knows them from online forums that the PC in this campaign is powerful and has valuable information. They might know about this pre-written campaign setting, who the good guys and the best people to align with are. This could be during a combat, a player targeting a specific enemy because they know that their character is weak against a certain type of damage, without their character having any reason to know that weakness. It could be a player reminding other players of their abilities, essentially dictating how they should play the game. This is one that might be looked over a little bit, but where is that information for their character coming from? That's coming from the meta space. Now, positive metagaming examples. This could be something like a player solving a problem by using creative solutions from our real world history. Think of a Trojan horse example. Or a particularly tough encounter, a player might remind a new player that their character can use healing potions. Sort of the same thing we just discussed as a negative, but if you're not directing play, but using it to enhance a player's understanding of their character when they're new, I think that can be a positive use of metagaming. Or discussing tactics before entering a dangerous area, but basing plans on information the characters would have access to. Sure, maybe they're using a lot of out-of-character time to develop tactics and prepare for what they're going to happen. But if they're using just the information that their characters would know or have access to, I think taking the time to have that meta discussion is perfectly acceptable and very helpful for games. It can lead to very creative ways of solving problems that even the DM may not have considered. Let's acknowledge the appeal of that, the appeal of positive or any kind of metagaming. Players often at the table want to be strategic. They want to make the best choices for their characters. This can be especially true for new players who haven't yet grasped the nuances of the game world. In this instance, metagaming becomes sort of a security blanket. It's a way to feel confident in their actions. So psychologically, this taps into our desire for competence. We want to feel like we're contributing meaningfully to the party. But remember, it's not just a tactical exercise. It's a collaborative storytelling experience. So while we are instinctively sort of drawn to it, I think teaching players that you can have a better experience without using it is beneficial. So really understanding when it becomes problematic or when it breaks the immersion in the game is a key point. So let's say your character is a sheltered noble. It encounters a creature they've never seen before. They have no reason to know its weaknesses. Yet your player, because they are the player from previous games, recognize this creature from the monster manual and immediately suggests exploiting a specific vulnerability. This pulls everyone quickly out of the immersive experience. Their character's knowledge feels unearned, and the tension of discovery is lost. That's when it becomes a problem. The beauty of D&D lies in the unknown. It's about learning alongside your character and making decisions based on their knowledge and their instincts. This creates the genuine risk and reward feeling. So think of it like when you roll a critical hit. It's far more satisfying because you weren't sure of what the outcome of your dice roll was going to be. So when you're kind of stuck in this place where metagaming is happening, you need to strike a balance between how do you allow them to do it in a positive way and avoid the negative. Well, first, if you can foster a group that has trust in their DM, in the world that you have crafted, if you're the DM, and give them joy in exploring it and not pre-solving every encounter, they're going to learn to trust you more as you make things exciting and epic and unique for them. I think that's a really key part of this. If you are constantly only throwing things at your players that they already have previous knowledge of from other campaigns or other stories, or you always do it in the same way, they're going to start using a lot more metagaming because it's sort of already established. Here's what you do in this situation. Giving them uniqueness challenges that. It's really hard to metagame when you're seeing something that you as a player have never seen before. So just think about that. If metagaming is a player using player knowledge about a situation, then the way to eliminate it simply would be give them a situation the player doesn't have player knowledge about. Next, focus on character development. Try and have your players develop character personality and experience and encourage them to let those things guide their actions, not player knowledge. Always embrace the role play. Sometimes the best strategy is simply to tell them to discuss the situation in character and come to a plan based on what the character knows and what the character can talk about. And if you keep the primary discussion around your table as in-character discussion or narrative from the DM, it eliminates a lot of that right off the bat, because if they're not talking as themselves, it's hard to provide information around the table that is the player's perspective rather than the character's perspective. Now, there are situations where a little bit of metagaming I really like. I've already mentioned the positive times that it can happen, but I think they can enhance the game. When a party is stuck on a puzzle and a player might get a nudge from the DM, can then use their real-world knowledge or knowledge that was just reminded to them by the DM to suggest a creative solution that might benefit the party and get them out of a moment they might already be losing immersion in because of frustration or inability to move forward. Here, the key is going to be communication. Discuss the expectations with your players, and is there a certain level of metagaming that might work in your group? They can be different. Some groups I find that I've played with for a very long time understand certain things that I don't really mind a little bit of metagaming about, and they incorporate that. And for example, planning effectively ahead of a big combat, we spend a lot of time planning how to have creative encounters. And I really like that because I don't like the same old, we just go, you know, fight rats in a basement. I would prefer creative solutions that might be more fun, letting them talk about things outside of game and then find ways that their character would either know about that or find out about how to enact such a creative plan. That can be another way to drive the story, is if a character wants their character to have a piece of information that they have as a player, build that into a quest, build that into a sort of a mini adventure of how can they acquire that information to then utilize this creative idea that the player has. That can be a lot of fun. That takes us to tricks of the trade. Okay, so we've explored the two sides of the metagaming coin. Now let's get practical. So for today's tricks of the trade, I want to help equip you, DMs, with some tools to navigate this tricky terrain. So first, using metagaming for immersion. I've got three tips for that. Number one, collaborative problem solving. So if you have a puzzle beyond your character's knowledge, like we talked about before, this is a little opportunity for metagaming. Encourage them to discuss solutions in character, drawing on some real world knowledge to fuel creative problem solving as a team. So give them an idea that might help them come up with a creative solution out of character, but then tell them to discuss that in character. This could lead to some hilarious and surprising solutions and enhance the narrative. Next, tailoring rewards. So if a player consistently uses metagaming with like historical knowledge to their character's advantage, you can reward it. You could craft a hidden chamber or a special encounter that might tie to some of their in real world expertise or something that they know about this game world, and create a bit of a personalized in-game benefit for their metagaming. And that can be a lot of fun too. It doesn't always have to be something that wrecks the game. Like if your player throws in an odd bit of information about a character that they know is in a town they're visiting because they've played a game in this world before, drop that character in and make it a really fun interaction. And they can still do all that in character, even though they were, they had knowledge of it out of character. You can still make it unique to this session, this campaign, and a lot of fun. And next, build a little bit of consistency with your world building. Sometimes metagaming arises because the world feels inconsistent, which sounds like a double standard. But if you ensure details about monsters and magic systems and common knowledge within your world are clear and consistent, that can give players less room to exploit loopholes and more opportunities to be informed. What does that mean? Well, that means, for example, if you take the fire-breathing red dragon being immune to fire, if that is common knowledge in your world and it is consistent throughout your world, people will know information like that. So you won't have to say, oh, his character's never encountered a red dragon before. If it's common knowledge in the world that red dragons are immune to fire because they've been a problem that has plagued the land for centuries, then that can be a way of saying, okay, metagame doesn't apply here, because this knowledge is common to the world. And I've also got three tips for avoiding some metagaming altogether. First, manage the information flow. This is where your skills as a DM can shine. If you are controlling what information the players have access to, don't reveal monster stats, don't reveal hidden traps, don't even show them all of a map. Just show them what they can see in their line of sight. Let them discover things organically. If you have control of the information that the players have, then you have control of what the players can use to metagame with. Next, focus on roleplay. I mentioned this before, but encouraging players to not just speak, but to think in character. What would their character know based on their backstory and their experiences that they've had? If they can think from that mind place, this shift in perspective could help them focus on the narrative and not the mechanics. And finally, try and let them know that the joy of D&D lies in the unexpected. Encourage them to embrace the thrill of discovery and not knowing, because that's where the magic of the game unfolds, is in the character discovery, the hero's journey, right? It is in acquiring a skill, ability, a possession, a thing that they didn't have before that then they can use to solve the problem that is laid out before them. All through this, you should be discussing your expectations with your players and establishing a comfortable level of metagaming for your group if you're going to allow it in the ways that I've explained. The goal here is to create that immersive experience for everyone. So that is it for metagaming. Thank you for joining me on this quick episode to break up our leveling up adventures. As always, you can find me on Instagram, Dungeons_Dragons_Psychology. Reach out to me by email, DungeonsDragonPsychology@gmail.com. And you can also check out our website, www.DungeonsDragonPsychology.com. As usual, I'll see you next session.